Hello and welcome to Wise Women, The Vicar and the Witch. I'm Maggie Whitehouse and I'm the Vicar.
And I'm Susie Crockford and I'm the Witch. We are perceived, perhaps, as being on opposite ends of a spectrum, but we're friends and we see the common threads of our different experience of the sacred. So please join us as we discuss
life, the universe and everything. Hello, it's a beautiful day. It has rained, so my vegetable garden is climbing through the windows, which is gorgeous, and now it's sunny again. And it's just after midsummer and the time when we start the fruiting, I guess, isn't it?
Totally, yeah.
I have 12 bottles of elderflower champagne.
Woohoo!
Would you like one?
Oh, yes, please.
And hopefully I'll be doing elderflower cordial. I just love it. I love it. And yet, it's, for me, this is a real time of sadness.
Why?
Because we have to move in the autumn and we have lived here, we've lived here 9 years and we have pretty much wilded it. I mean, okay, we do cut the grass occasionally, but we've, a week ago, there were stoats playing on the back lawn. And because the landlord is taking the house back and because he is a neatness freak, we're under instruction to cut everything.
Really?
Take it to a neat garden. And it's breaking my heart, Susie, and I'm not quite sure what to do about it. I'm talking to the divas and all that, and it's just so not me.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh,
but if I don't do it...
In my body.
If I don't do it, it'll be pesticides and weed killers.
Really?
Yeah. Which the land is going to have to face anyway, because that's the way they rock, I think. And they'll be moving in. So there's nothing I can do to alleviate... I don't know what... advice.
I don't know. Well, I don't know, because bizarrely, this very same thing has just come up for me on the way over here. And in fact, I drove here mostly in tears. Because... To begin at the beginning of a story, about 2 weeks ago, I don't know if I'm going to get through this without crying, but hey-ho, you've cried in lots of them.
Oh, God, yes, it's your turn. bamboo tissues.
Yeah, thanks. I never have a tissue. Cheers. Bless her. She's given me tissues. So a couple, literally no more than, say, 3 weeks ago, I had a conversation with... the man who has bought half of the farm upon which I lived. He's the farmer who I live next to, who's the loveliest man who has an organic farm, sold off half his land. He's getting older.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the energy. He doesn't want the responsibility, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it was bought by a farmer down the road, who is also a very charming and lovely man. And not 3 weeks ago, we had a conversation about... about two things, specifically the swallows, and how terribly sad it was that what used to be uncountable numbers of swallows that used to arrive on this land, there are four this year again.
Yeah.
And how tragic that was.
Yeah.
And then about how when he and his wife had come to look at the land before they bought it, how they basically said to one another... oh, it's special up here, isn't it? And I could only agree.
Yeah.
So within the ensuing 3 weeks, he has poured, well, having already chopped down loads of the trees so he can get big machinery up the lane, and then cut back all the gorse, all the bracken, so there are no wild edges to any of the fields anymore. So there are now, I never see deer on the farm anymore because there is nowhere for them to hide and nowhere for them to sleep. And obviously that applies to everyone else too. You know, there's, he's just mown down absolutely loads of forage and habitat. So then he pours Roundup all over a load of bracken, which Roundup doesn't even kill bracken. No. And then he ploughed the bracken and the Roundup in to the land, so that'll have killed 9/10 of the beings in the ground. And as I'm sure we, hopefully everyone on the planet, possibly with the exception of him, knows, that'll be doing for all the pollinators, especially the honeybees and the, you know, the bumbles and all the rest of it. And then then just to put the tin freaking lid on it, frankly, today, a tractor the size of which I have never seen up here. I mean, how they got it up the lanes and through the gate, I just don't know. That aside, full of chemical fertilisers on the back of it to flick all over land, which is fast becoming not special. And I don't mean that in the way that it possibly sounds, but the divas, the magic of place, the fairies, all of the insects and the beings are very swiftly moving off the land where I live. Oh, and I can't bear it. It's breaking my heart. I can't bear it.
Oh, so we have the same thing. Yours is much bigger. And of course you can't bear it. And how are we meant to bear this? This is the great sorrow.
It is. And it also, I realised, driving over here, I realised that this is actually totally all about rest. It's about rest. It's about that conversation you and I had ages ago now, where you talked about how the land used to be rested and the people used to rest. Yes. And like every 7 years there was this total and utter rest, and that's what fertilizer is. It's us not letting the land rest.
Yes.
Just demanding that year after year after year after year she produces and performs the most, the best.
Yeah.
And that every millimeter of land produces for man's greed, basically.
Yes. And it also takes us back to this systemization of something that should be good, which is veganism. You know, the processing.
This is for sheep, this.
Is it?
Yeah.
But why does she... Oh, why, yes. Oh, my heart. My heart.
Yeah. And, you know, what to do. Yeah. And I realised as well that I was being really chicken-hearted because I don't... There's a part of me that fears going to talk with him because I fear that it would be confrontation and that he could then tell me I can't walk on his land and that would also break my heart.
Yeah.
But I think I have to, or maybe, I don't know, maybe I could write them a letter or something.
And no, just do it in person. They take more offence with letters.
Really?
That my experience has been a very wise, actually he was an absolute git, of a guy said to me once when I was going to put my resignation in on a job, said, no, never leave a letter. You stand there because otherwise they will think of all the things they want to say to you.
Oh, before, right.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, it has to be...
In person.
It has to be in person. But it's too late for this year. It's too late for 20 years now.
Yeah.
Oh, Susie. I'm in a way, you put this into perspective because at least I will cut and I will talk and I will use the most beneficial methods that I possibly can. But there's nothing I can do about next year.
No.
And actually, this... Last 2 years have been so beautiful because we had sheep on the field behind our house, but the farmer's now using that for hay or silage. And we've had deer giving birth, there's stoats, there's weasels, there's dormice. After they cut the grass, I actually went round to look for whatever might be underneath, still living, because the cut will kill, of course. Oh, we got hedgehogs for the first time that I've seen as well. And I found a little vole, which a little had a little mark on its head, but it was okay. So I picked it up and it bit me and I was so chuffed. Oh, you're going to live then. Yeah. That's good. And I went round the fields behind the house looking for pheasant eggs because I knew there were pheasants there before the cut. I didn't find much and it hasn't hatched, but... I think that's probably one of the few times you can take birds' eggs if it's going to be cut.
Yeah.
Or stick them under broody chickens or something. I don't know. But our chickens have had to go. And it's part of release moving on. They've gone to a lovely home.
Oh,
so they're going to be fine. And, be you know, God chickens. Is good in that everything works out if you ask and you will find the perfect new home and all that. But yes, this is the great sadness.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, if I stop and think for a minute, of course it has to be a conversation. And what I will do is ask the spirits to be with me.
Yes.
And to ask them to speak through me.
Yes.
And so maybe, hopefully, the fact that he recognised that this land is special will... There's something in him that recognises that a land that is alive in a really particular and devastatingly rare way
Yeah.
Because it's been loved and respected. Yeah. And, you know, he views the way it's been treated as neglect because it's not been producing. But in fact, you know, it was an organic farm that showed it's been treated with so much love and so much respect for, you know, at the very least a couple of generations. So it was Rob's parents' farm before it was his.
Yeah.
And his father had a very particular way of farming, which Rob calls, what do you call it? Well, he might have called it ranch style or something. Anyway, so he wasn't, you know, he was very much, well, here's this, you know, biggish piece of land and it goes out onto the Cleve. You know, the cattle can have this bit and the sheep can have this bit. And it was, you know, he wasn't the kind of man who regimentedly demanded that every single bit of the farm be productive all year round. So part of the farm is an area called Harton Down, which is, you know, it's once upon a time was clearly a hazel coppice, but it's basically a piece of rough, wild land. Hurrah! And you go there and the sense of aliveness of the divas, of the fae is so strong.
Mm.
And it was, you know, very, very strong all over all of the land because it has been loved and cared for in this very gentle way.
Mm.
And now this, you know, this equally lovely man, he doesn't mean harm, the very opposite, you know, he thinks he's doing it properly.
Yeah.
But this forcefulness of every millimetre of it's got to be productive, and we can't have gorse and we can't have heather and we can't have any of these things because every millimetre must be productive. It's so, oh God, it's so contorted patriarchy. And that isn't what I started out to say at all. I can't remember where I was going.
No, the only thing that's coming into my head that I can do, and maybe anybody can do, anybody who's looking at land that's been brutalised, dominated, is apologise. And I, that Ho'oponopono prayer, I say it every time I'm cutting. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you. Thank you for everything, I love you. I'm sorry, please forgive me. And I actually do think there was a prayer that David Icke, God, how David Icke has changed over the years. When he first wrote his first book, The Truth Vibrations, I read it when I was just after Henry had died, and it was one of the books that made me go, okay, there's more.
Mm.
And he had a prayer which I've adapted, and I'm going to, what I do, you've done it with me at the Solstice Mass that you came to, which is you take the responsibility at the four levels of creation, according to the Kabbalistic teaching, of say, I ask forgiveness and I forgive, and I'm just going to do more and more of that, which is basically on behalf, in the name of God and on behalf of all humanity, I ask forgiveness for all the wickedness and destruction.
I go up and down, well, have taken to since these things have been going on, going round and round the farm, begging forgiveness and saying I'm sorry to everything, you know, to the gods, to the land, to the divas, to the fae, to the deer, to the everyone, foxes, all those who've lost habitat, all those who've lost forage, and all those who are being poisoned, basically.
Yeah. And the simplest of things I've got to do is email the landlord and say, can you tell me now, please, if you're going to be feeding the birds in the winter? Because if you're not, we've got a whole new generation of bullfinches, chaffinches,
greenfinches. I saw them when I came.
Do I have to stop feeding them now? Because I can't train them to come to us if they're not going to continue. And that's breaking my heart too because of the joy they bring.
Yeah.
But I have to, don't I?
Yeah, because otherwise they'll be trained to come here, and at the very point when the hardness starts, there'll be nothing for them.
Yeah. So I don't know whether to do that anyway.
No, don't do it anyway. Maybe they're great bird feeders.
Maybe they are, yeah. But they're worried about rats and, of course, any seed. Oh, well, we've got time. And I will have to ask. It is tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what hope can we bring?
Maggie's face falls. She falls into an extremely contemplative face. Fuck. I mean, to me, the only hope is that on the one hand, the spirits hear us when we go around going, I am so sorry. And on the other hand, that maybe humans hear us, and maybe even if one human listening to this thinks, oh yeah, the fact that I spread Roundup up and down my gravel path or whatever it is means that I am personally responsible for killing the pollinators that are going to be
feeding my grandchildren,
exactly, yeah. You know, even apparently somebody was telling me yesterday, even what is his name, is it James
Chris Packham?
No, Paxman.
Jeremy Paxman. Yeah.
Paxman, is that his name?
Or maybe.
I mean Jeremy Clarkson.
Jeremy Clarkson's the one who's on the farm.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So, sorry, all the people I nearly misnamed. What's his name again? Jeremy Clarkson. So he who used to drive around in fast cars and made a bit of an ob for himself repeatedly on telly now has some kind of farm programme. And apparently, even he is leaving massive borders around the edges of his field and saying, we have to do this because otherwise there won't be any pollinators. And if there aren't any pollinators, that's the end of us. Yeah. You know, never mind global warming, never mind tech, never mind fucking COVID.
Yeah.
It'll be the end of us if there aren't any pollinators left.
Yeah.
And then he turned to the camera and apparently said, and you're hearing it from me, Jeremy Hart Clarkson, not some fucking hairy hippie.
Yes.
And it's like,
that's what's needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, well done, Clarkson. And yes, you are listening to a vicar and a witch. And for God's sake, if you're using Roundup or sprinkling herbicides or pesticides or any of those things, then you are personally responsible for the fact that the pollinators are dying, and therefore so might we.
And if you've heard this, that is now true, because we're telling you to stop it.
Yes.
With what little authority we have, we're saying stop it now.
Yeah.
Because if you've heard this and you don't stop it, then you are consciously responsible.
Yeah.
And tough words have got to happen.
Totally. And even the kindest of tough words, which I hope these are, can make such a difference. Mm. So some other new people arrived very close to where I am, and they were using Roundup to kill off the weeds. And I said very kindly, oh, I don't know if you know, but that stuff kills bees, and your next door neighbour keeps bees.
Mm.
And they stopped. Oh, and I said,
yes,
you can get rid of the thing in question. Was that there was loads and loads of ground ivy everywhere, and I said, if you really don't want that, you can pour boiling water and salt all over it, and that'll be the end of it.
Yeah,
because it was just on a path.
Yeah, and that poisons the ground too, but not as badly.
Well, it doesn't kill the pollinators.
No, it doesn't.
It does for the ground, but they don't. Yeah. I mean, that's a bit of old granite-y front of their house.
Yeah.
They don't actually want anything to grow there, and although I imagine the salt's not at all good for the worms, that's a very minor disturbance.
It's better than
Roundup, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But even straight boiling water will do a lot. I mean, again, you'll be cooking the worms, but on a granite path, my sense is that's kind of acceptable behaviour, if that's what you really, really want.
Yes.
Although I fell short of explaining to her that actually you can eat that when it's young and it's really tasty.
Yes.
But, you know, perhaps next time. Anyway, bless her, she stopped. So, you know, there's hope for us all, frankly. And I will go and speak to the farmer, and I will say, and I will talk about magic and spirits. Yeah. And if he thinks I'm a nutter and bans me from walking on the land, well, I tried.
That's the price you pay for being honest and open-hearted. And maybe something else will happen that you walk on other land.
Yeah.
Or he'll relent or something. But it's sometimes you got to take one for the team.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I realise, you know, I come from a sort of partly farming background, and I realise that there are going to be people, I mean, that maybe not, maybe nobody like this listens to a vicar and a witch wittering about whatever it is we witter about, but I know that there are plenty of people out there who'll be railing at my words, going, you know, well, we've all got to eat, you know, and how do you think we're going to feed the world, blah, blah, blah. But actually, there is so much research that says that permaculture in particular, but any form of organic farming where you are doing it how we used to do it, which is small mixed agriculture, small-scale mixed agriculture.
Yeah.
So globally, small-scale mixed agriculture feeds more of the world than anything else does.
Yeah.
And it has been proven through proper scientific research, lies, damn lies and statistics, that produces more.
Yeah.
And it's better for our health, and it's better for the health of everything else that lives. It's better for the health of Gaia, generally.
Yeah.
So what the fuck are we doing?
Well, that the word more is the one that we're looking at here, because we don't understand enough.
Yeah.
And the magic of marketing has trained us into more, 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 better, different, update, upgrade, this, that. Now, you've got to have this to look beautiful. You've got to have this to be well. You've got to have a sugar-laden yogurt drink to get your probiotics.
I know.
Oh, and the sugar destroys the probiotics, I gather. You know, and you go, oh, gee, but it's city living. And we also... And Kabbalistically, we're taught that we're not all down yet, reincarnation-wise. There are still souls, new souls coming in.
Mm.
And a few hundred years left of new souls coming in before what's allegedly believed to be the full complement of human souls on this planet.
Ooh. I love the way Kabbalah's got an answer for everything. But anyway, just to rewind a bit, I would really like to... challenge you on your city living statement.
Yes, good. I'm glad. But as it really came unfair. Out, I thought that was a little bit... Yeah.
I mean, as somebody who did once upon a time, briefly live in a city.
I've lived in a city most of my life.
Okay, city people are not necessarily at all the ones responsible. Well, in fact, in this particular instance, 100% are not the ones directly responsible for pouring chemicals on the land.
No.
We are all responsible if we buy the upshot of those chemicals, if we buy the products. So if you're buying food, you know, again, I'm being really harsh this week, but I've had it. If you buy the products that are the result of pouring chemicals on land, keeping animals indoors, keeping animals in the kind of conditions where they can't even bloody turn around to see their little piglets or whatever, then you are bloody well responsible. And there's no way around that. Mm. And that isn't necessarily at all the people who live in cities, apart from anything else, just to be equally unfair, because half of the time they don't even know.
And that's the thing, isn't it? How responsible are you when you don't know? Well, you're innocent, aren't you?
Maybe.
It's a difference between innocence and ignorance. Isn't there enough information now?
Yeah, exactly. There is a difference between innocence and ignorance, but I don't believe that any of us in the West are innocent of that.
Yeah.
Simply because there is surely now so much information out there. And that I think, to be honest, there's no excuse anymore. There's no excuse. And again, I know that there'll be people sitting here going, well, it's all right for you. You know, you can clearly afford your organic food and all the rest of it. But I go back to that conversation I had in whichever shop it was with the goddess.
About costing the earth.
What does it cost? What's the price? What is the price you are prepared to pay for this? Is it the life of our entire planet and future generations? And
I said to a friend, I'd got this wonderful new mascara, but it wasn't waterproof. So I'm going to have to walk. I'm having to take care that I'm not walking around looking like a panda every time I try, and it's inconvenient. So this friend said, "Oh, I couldn't go for that. I need waterproof." And I just thought, "Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? For the beauty, we need the waterproof. No, I'm going to have to carry an extra tissue and mop."
Are you very subtly telling me I've got panda face because I've been crying in my non-waterproof mascara?
No, but you have got nail varnish, and that's interesting.
I know, hilarious, huh? I mean, some of this is paint. Which do we have time to talk about mentalness of the Capricorn moon?
Oh yes, we do.
My moon water. So, under the Capricorn, the light of the Capricorn full moon, I left out a jar of beautiful, beautiful Dartmoor water to be infused with the vibrations of the Capricorn moon. And, now that I hang out with you, I thought, ooh, Capricorn moon, that must mean something. I wonder what Capricorns are like. And discovered kind of, you know, the most superficial Google ever, that Capricorns are good at getting shit done. So I thought, cool, it's going to be get shit done juice. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So we've practically redecorated half of the house.
Wow.
It's just mental. We've been completely on one.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me as I arrived here and thought, oh, I must ask Maggie about this, that maybe some of it is that I drank Capricorn moon juice, but maybe some of it is that I am dwelling in the Capricorn moon. But then I thought, well, the Capricorn moon was obviously half done by the time we got to the full moon, and I wasn't really getting shit done before. So
I guess the moon was in Capricorn. The full moon was in the sign of Capricorn, because the full moon is always opposed to the sun. Sun Cancer, the full moon will be Capricorn. Sun Taurus, the full moon will be Scorpio. But
was the waxing moon therefore not consistently in Capricorn?
No.
No.
The moon is in a sign for a maximum of 2 days a month.
Oh, okay.
So the waxing moon would have been in Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, and then moved into Sagittarius and then Capricorn.
Okay, so it's to do with the moon water and not to do with the fact that it's consistently. It is absolutely the moon water,
yes.
Oh, it's been amazing.
And Capricorn is also to do with structure as well, so redecorating a house.
My structure.
It's perfect for it. Oh, and we found that we've been doing stuff too. We've organised things like getting the oven cleaned and starting to clean out the house and getting the rug doctor in and starting the process of the energy of the move.
Mm.
You know, even though we've got this summer, it's such a strange thing having a final summer somewhere. I've never had that.
No.
To my knowledge. It's always been move in a month or move in whenever the house sells or whatever. But this time it's move at the end of October or in November. So there's this poignancy of saying, I'm never going to be looking at this view from this point again. So nostalgia before I've left, as it were.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a pretty unique position to be in, isn't it? Normally when you're moving, it's because you're going somewhere in particular.
Yes.
And so much of our vision tends to be
on the place
I'm going next, yes, rather than, oh, I'm never going to see this again.
Yeah.
Strange times. It's
very strange times. But that's an interesting thing about the Capricorn moon, because I hadn't really thought this through using the moon energy. I'd put these crystals out under the moon, but I hadn't actually thought of it. So you've taught me, the astrologer, something to do around what to do around the moons. But all this stuff is so subtle. It's so mathematical too.
Mm.
What people don't realise is that the universe is a mathematical construct.
Mm. Well, the way we explain it is.
Yes. Yes, as in it has the patterns.
Yeah.
The patterns of creation. And you live within the patterns, everything is benign. Mm. Even if it's harsh or it looks bad, but it's part of the process of it.
Mm.
Hmm. So the next full moon, because we'll be in Leo by then, the next full moon will be Aquarius. So that Aquarius is fixed, changeable, revolutionary.
Okay, what does fixed, changeable
mean? Well, most air signs are very fluid.
Uh-huh.
Sort of, it's this or it's that or whatever, whereas Aquarius is, the fixed signs all have this thing about it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's over.
Okay.
So there could be some revolutionary something going on around any Aquarius full moon.
Okay, so in the Aquarius full moon, if you have any desire to be a revolutionary, I recommend you make moon juice.
Yes.
Because if this moon juice is anything to go by, good Lord, it'll be like a rocket up your bum.
only thing about Aquarius is the same revolution over and over again.
Oh, maybe not that then.
Well, it's good in a way, and that Russia's ruled by Aquarius, and Russians had the revolution, which got rid of the Tsar, but Putin is a Tsar.
Yeah.
So you change, you've got to be aware that you've got to bring something new and fresh as well, because the Aquarian moon will make you change, but it won't make you, it'll just make you do the previous change again.
So oh, that sounds dull. What's the way out of that then?
Well, to look for something.
But if you're an Aquarian.
Yes.
How as an Aquarian would you?
Well, layers of the onion. You know, you can take it out through layers of the onion. You know, let's go out a little wider this time and out a little wider. But put it this way, the Aquarian full moon would be a great time to stand up and shout about this stuff and say, we have to change this. Because it's the same revolution, but it might get to a wider audience.
Well, I mean, that's another one of the things that just, I mean, I'm in a, my heart is breaking day to day. And so I've got a bit of a list going on at the, it seems at the back of my head, just that as I was coming along the lanes, weeping about the state of all of this, I remembered that Silent Spring was written the year I was born, I believe.
Yeah,
Rachel Silent Carson. Spring, yeah. Rachel Carson, predicting pretty much exactly the place we are going to, was written 57 years ago, and we're still not listening.
And we aren't missing. And even my dear mum, you know, I was said to her very gently on the phone the other day, I'm astonished at how much plastic there is in your house. And she said, oh, well, it was all got when I didn't know about it. But there's bag, box after box of plastic sandwich bags and things like that. And she read Silent Spring when she was young. And I'm just thinking how her good intentions just got overruled by convenience and marketing.
And do you know what? Convenience. That's convenience it seems to me if there is any such person as the devil, if you see what I mean, then he's absolutely disguised as convenience.
Yeah.
Because that, it seems to me, what is inconvenient to us seems, as soon as something becomes inconvenient, then the best of intentions for altogether too many people seem to go out the window.
Yeah. And I'll put my hand up to that. There have been the few times every now and then when I've gone, oh God, I haven't got the energy or something like that. And I'm ashamed of myself, but I still will do it sometimes. And I've got to use up all this plastic. Well, what else do I do with it? What do I do with all these boxes? I've got 12 boxes of plastic bags in one of my drawers now.
I mean, that sounds like more than a lifetime's worth of plastic bags,
doesn't it? Yeah, it's probably going to last see me out. Yes, but what do I do with them? I mean, do I burn them or do I use them?
Oh, no, for God's sake, don't burn them.
No, or, but what?
I don't know. Give them to somebody who makes something or something who can use them in a way that where really nothing else would do. I really don't know.
No.
I don't know. I
mean, but they're convenient because they've got this sort of Ziploc at the top, you see. And my mum needed that because she used to wrap ties, you know, those plastic ties with metal round and reuse those around things. But since she got arthritic hands, she couldn't do it. So her friends who did her shopping for her, bless them, would, and my, including my family, would get other Ziploc things because they were convenient.
But what do people put in all these plastic bags? I don't understand, because I've always had this passionate loathing of plastic. I really have just never got into it, so I don't actually know what people do with them.
Spare food in the freezer.
Right, okay.
So there's a good thing going on, it's just that it's going into plastic bags.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. Just
I know. Oh.
Well, even just on the freezer front, you know, on the one hand, I absolutely understand and accept that freezers are amazing, and especially if you're elderly, somebody can come along and cook, you know, 10 meals at a time for you and put them in the freezer, and then you don't have to go into a home because you've got food, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But coolant chemicals are another thing that's super bad.
Yeah.
And, oh dear, it's just our way of being just isn't sustainable.
Yeah.
And I know that we can't, you know, we can't go back. I'm not ever suggesting that we should go back to times of old, but I just think we need to take so much more care. And I'm not saying, you know, old people can't have freezers or whatever, but I am saying maybe, I don't know, maybe share it or something.
Yeah.
Or,
I think the answer I get to consistency is give it up, give it up, give it up to the Great Mother, give it up to the Goddess, give it up to God. So can I close with that prayer I adapted from David Icke?
Yeah, go on.
Because if you like it, if you're listening, if you like it, and if you're willing to do it, you can stand on a hilltop, you can stand in a city, you can stand anywhere and just give it up. And it's basically, in the name of God and on behalf of all humanity, I ask forgiveness for all the harm and cruelty I have inflicted in the physical world. In the name of God and on behalf of all humanity, I ask forgiveness for all thoughts and feelings I have inflicted on the psychological world. In the name of God and on behalf of all humanity, I ask forgiveness for all the thoughts and creations that I have submitted in the spiritual world. And in the name of God and on behalf of all humanity, I remember the perfection of Atzilut, which is the word that means the whole creation. So I remember the perfection of creation. And then you go, in the name of God and on behalf of all humanity, I forgive all physical actions against me on this planet. In the name of God and on behalf of all humanity, I forgive all thoughts, emotions, feelings, harmful ones directed against me and this planet. In the name of God and on behalf of all humanity, I ask forgiveness for all we have created to harm humanity and the planet. And in the name of God and on behalf of all humanity, I remember the perfection of creation. And it is, I just find it, well, it brings me to tears because it's basically going, I am so sorry and I ask for forgiveness and I forgive all that's done in return. Because that is the essence of the prayer that Jesus allegedly taught us, which is forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It is debts, not trespasses.
Mm.
Forgive everything that we have put ourselves in debt to, and we forgive those who have created debt too. Because unless we do mutual forgiveness, we're going to get nowhere.
Mm. Can I just add a witchy kind of a witchy twist on that one? In that I am profoundly uncomfortable with the thought of ever daring to speak on behalf of all of humanity. And I know there's a fair chunk of humanity that would very much prefer that I didn't speak on its behalf. Thank you very much, because it doesn't agree with me.
Yep.
And so I would change that to say that prayer on behalf of myself and those who would wish to say it with me.
I get that, and yet we are all one.
I get that, but we are not of one mind.
No, we are not of one mind. I'm not talking at the level of mind. I'm doing that prayer from my soul into my soul group, which is exponentially linked to every other soul group on the planet. So that I absolutely hear what you say, but I can't agree. I can and I can't. So yeah. It's basically, this is a call to arms. And if you want to say, I don't agree and humanity doesn't, I'd say at the soul level, humanity does. So I'm going to speak to the soul or the spirit of humanity. And I'm going to say, I have the arrogance. I have the chutzpah to say, I will stand as humanity and I will say this prayer. And if you don't agree with me, well, that's fine. You can disagree with me as much as you bloody well like. I'm still doing it.
Well, hurrah for that. And I'm reasonably confident in an assertion that we have run out of time.
So whatever you want to do, do. But we are responsible.
Yeah.
Respondo. We respond. And we need to respond differently.
We do. It just briefly reminds me of Crowley's words. I'm not, or maybe they're not his words, but they are associated with him. Mm. I'm not speaking as a massive Crowley fan or adept, although I was at one point a student of his bastard son rather than his acknowledged son.
We must talk about that.
But he purportedly said, or perhaps it's anyway, I'll stop rambling. Love is the law. Love under the will, and it harm none.
Yes. Yeah. And it harm none. There's no way you can live on this planet without harming.
No.
But I think
we can do our best to try to be. Yeah.
Was it Paul Eddington, the actor, who wanted on his gravestone, he did very little harm?
Really?
Yeah.
Aww. I didn't even know he was dead, I have to admit. But then what I know about telly, etc., is fast becoming clear that it's almost nothing.
Well, I might be wrong. It might not be that actor. I think it was that actor. But anyway.
Someone had it and it's very good.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes.
She did very little harm.
Yeah. Yeah, that would do.
That would do.